The Pharisees in John chapter 9 are castle building and building a dungeon for people that didn't really agree with them on their Sabbath teaching. I think I've mentioned in some sermons before what their Sabbath teachings were and their disciplines. Here are some of them. The Pharisees taught, and this is not in Scripture, they added on tradition to the Scriptures. They taught this, that you couldn't light or extinguish your lamp on the Sabbath day. They taught that you couldn't wear a certain kind of sandal around town. Sandals that had nails in them, you see, that was not allowed on the Sabbath day, because by having the nails in your shoe, in your sandal, you were technically carrying around nails, which was a work. That's pretty petty. They didn't allow fingernail clipping. They didn't allow haircuts or your beard to get trimmed, and they certainly didn't allow healing. Now, they did allow medicine. I want to clarify this so we can understand what's happening here. This was the teaching. You could administer medicine as long as it kept someone on an even keel during the Sabbath day, or it kept them from getting worse. What you couldn't do, according to their teaching, was administer medicine that made someone better. Silly. I laugh at that too, Molly. I'm down with that. So you can see how this is very petty. This was their way of honoring God. Now, before we kind of cast aspersions on the Pharisees and their rules, we have to admit that sometimes coming up with disciplines to follow God's teaching, there's nothing wrong with that. Here's the real problem with the Pharisees. They taught that anyone who disagreed with them should be condemned. They taught that anyone who didn't hold the Sabbath the way that they did should be put into a dungeon. That was their teaching. And they wanted to put Jesus in a dungeon, so to speak, for violating their rules. What's the takeaway from this? I think there's something really down to earth that we can hone in on. Sometimes we can come to the conclusion that our way is the only way. Peace Lutheran is the only church that has it accurate. Or the Presbyterians are the only ones that have it accurate. Or the non-denominational church is the one that has it perfect. I want to be careful what I'm saying here. There's only one way to heaven, but my friends, there are multiple paths to Jesus. Presbyterian, Methodist, Roman Catholic, non-denominational. Let us never fall into the trap, you see, of putting people in dungeons for not agreeing with our way of doing things and our traditions. See how that can be a danger? Let's talk about kingdom building for a second. Kingdom builders, again, are people that don't build moats, but they build bridges so that everyone can come in. We see this with Jesus. He's a beautiful kingdom builder here in this text. As you carefully listen to the reading here, do you notice the progression of this man born blind with his understanding of Jesus? It's not all there in one snap of the finger. It takes some time, and then he finally gets there. Jesus is patient. Jesus is not jumping on him for wrong answers. Let me take you through the text to show you this. In verse 11, the man is asked, "Who do you say that Jesus is?" And the man says, he's a man, the man Jesus. He understood Jesus to be a wonderful man, which isn't a bad thing. Jesus was a kind man. He was a good guy. But I can imagine Jesus on the sideline thinking, "I'm more than a man. I just gave you sight. You should call me something besides a man." Jesus doesn't say anything. He's quiet in the background. Jump on down to verse 17. The man's asked, "Who is Jesus?" This time, he says, "He's a prophet." Now, that's a little better, closer to the right answer. A prophet was someone who represented God to people. They were close to God. That's certainly a kind thing to say about Jesus, but again, that's not quite the right answer. And you can imagine Jesus on the sidelines saying, "Prophet, that's nice, but I'm more than a prophet. Come on, I gave you sight and changed your life." Jump on down to verse 38. Finally, this dialogue between Jesus and the man And the man finally gets it. He says, "Lord," and he worships Jesus. Jesus has a heart of patience for people. He's not interested in correct answers. And my friends, the beautiful thing is, he will be patient to you. He'll be patient for you. He will love you into his embrace and welcome you in. That is such good news. Jesus builds kingdoms. Jesus invites us to be about kingdom building. One other thing that kingdom builders do is that they share grace. They allow people to live in grace. They don't build dungeons. Now, a lot of people, if you hear a lot of sermons about this particular chapter in St. John's Gospel, St. John 9, I've heard a lot of not-so-good sermons on this text, and I'll tell you why. Most sermons talk about how we need to have better sight. We need to improve our spiritual sight.